So good morning. To Eric's point, I just want to say thanks to everybody who prays very diligently in this class. I really do think it's one of the things that makes this class what it is. People are very faithful in prayer, and people truly care about each other. And we don't come here to play games. We don't come here to play church. So it's just good that we're sincere and we try to help each other. So. This lesson this week, I was looking at my notes, and I think I might have too much on here to cover in one day, so it's possible that this is going to carry over until not next week, but in 2 weeks, because next week we have Andy Johnson, the missionary, coming to our class to visit and teach and talk, and then I'll pick up the week after him. But we might have to carry this over to 2 weeks, because again, I don't like, fighting the clock and all that, so we'll just see how we do, and go from there. So. The last lesson that we had, we looked at Bible translations and how to select a good study Bible. Okay, so today's lesson is about Bible study tools. We have a whole lot of tools available to us these days, more than we ever had before. The thing to really take note of personally is that, we are living in the only two-ish decades in the only one generation in the history of mankind that has the level of tools that we have to study the Bible, okay? And largely what I'm referring to is things that are online and, things like that. So when you think about it, we have Bibles in every translation, okay? And we're blessed, by the way, to be in the English dialect, so it's not like we're over somewhere else in some other obscure dialect that doesn't really have all this stuff, but we're in the English dialect too. So, we have the Bible in tons of different translations in English. We have commentaries galore. We've got Bible dictionaries galore. We've got lexicons. We've got, like Strong's Concordance and other concordances and so forth, just coming out our ears. Like, we have more tools, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but we have more tools than anybody has ever had in the history of the world. And I really think that should just cause us to sort of like, humble ourselves and say, how are we doing with using these tools that God's given us? I mean, think about it this way. It's been 6,000 years of history from Adam to now, which is really, 600 decades of world history, 150 generations of people. And if you define a generation by about 40 years, that's 150. And here we are in this one little segment of time that has all of this stuff that is just, this information that's just exploded for us that God has given us. God is sovereign, and he's not a deist, so there's reasons why we today have these tools. And I really think we should challenge ourselves to say, how are we doing, with these tools? Again, and I'm going to refer to this more and more, but, like we did in the poll earlier in the series, the two main things that all of us here in the class said that keep us from the Bible is, number one, is laziness. It's just our own laziness. And number two, really, is just not prioritizing it. We don't prioritize Bible study. So, again, I would like to just challenge us to think about that and say, here I am. There's God and there's me. He saved me. I serve him. And he has given me this, like, unlimited buffet of information with Bible study ability. How am I doing with it? How am I using it? Do I even use it at all? We're going to, I have a couple examples about that in a minute. But that's just something that we really should think about. As I was thinking about this, I thought, if you look over history, what would the Puritans have done with what we have? What would the Bereans in Acts have done? It says they searched the scriptures. What would they have done with the tools that we have? What would the translators from 500, 400, whatever years ago done with the online tools that we have? Think of missionaries that have been out, doing missions work from Paul all the way to today, missionaries doing missions work and trying to translate and everything else. You think of, like, how could they have benefited and how would they have loved to have the tools that we have today? So, again, it's just something to think about. To give you a little illustration, Daniel, I think you'll do this for me. Could you do this? We're gonna measure everybody's Bible study time right now. To just give you a little like a visual illustration, is take this tape measure, walk back there. I thought this would be a good way to look at this. Okay, hold on. We want 25 feet, so we're good, right there. Okay, so watch, don't hit Darlene in the head. Hold it out straight, because time doesn't go like this, it goes like this. So think of this as the history of man from Adam to now, okay? So if what Daniel is holding in his hand, right at the his left hand there, right at the very tip, okay, that's Adam. That's the beginning of history. This right here is the 25-foot mark, and I did the math on this, so I know this is accurate. If you look at the 25-foot mark, this represents us right now, okay? If you look at the tools that we have, okay, basically I'm talking about online stuff, okay, the internet and all that. If you look at the whole thing from Adam to now, you want to know how much time our life represents in this whole linear thing? It's right here. Can you see it? It's 1 inch. So out of the entire history of man, you and me are living in this 1 inch that we have information available to us to study the Bible that nobody in this whole line had. And God has put you and me right here to have this. So think of that. It's pretty amazing. So thank you.
Nice job, Daniel. Yeah.
You know, and honestly, too, I don't want to, you know, it's always interesting, you know, when you teach or you preach, it's like, you know, you don't want to browbeat people, like I said before, and I personally don't think judging people really gets anybody anywhere, so I don't want to do that. Heather.
I have sort of a question, comment, and I'd like to know if you would agree, because I work with this generation of children in my school, and there is a lack of, like, they don't understand the need to learn how to study properly because everything is at their hands. Mm-hmm. It's right there in your face. So I feel like some of that has actually created some of the laziness that we're seeing, even in my generation, because, I mean, I was kind of young when this stuff kind of got started, but, like, as teachers, like, especially in the environment that I teach in, it's a real challenge to get them to be able to do anything that isn't copying straight from the board, like to find their own information, to use sources that are actually viable. So, like, I'm concerned about the future of our, even our Bible study abilities.
Okay. I don't know if I can answer that right now. We'll just...
I know it's a lot.
Go ahead, Nancy. Nancy has an answer for you.
I see the same thing at work as some of the young people I work with. They're so used to the internet where you never sit around a dinner table going, oh, the actress's name, she was in this, she was in, you know, and you have to come up with it. They just Google it.
Yep. Right.
And they aren't used to digging and thinking. They're used to getting an answer.
Right.
And in the kind of work we do where we have to do research, it's really hard for a lot of them. They just want the answer. They don't want to dig down. So I think I totally agree with Heather that there are people, not that it's a learned behavior and they can learn to do other, but I think it's harder for them. They are used to being spoon-fed an instant answer.
Well, you know, in light of that, let me ask you this, class. Nancy's talking about us just wanting quick answers, and we want to be spoon-fed. We just, you know, we don't want to research stuff. We don't want to dig into stuff. We don't want to have to do the hard work. We just want the answers. What is the closest thing to that we tend to fall back on when we are the ones just looking for the answers and we don't want to do the work?
Go to Bob.
Others. Go to Bob.
I know the biggest answer is, I mean, just like us and those guys, when they came to a scripture, they sit there and meditated. They thought. I mean, you think of Martin Luther, you know, he's all of a sudden thinking and doing all of a sudden he realized, wait a second, By right. grace, I'm saved.
Right.
It's, you know, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, the disadvantage to having all those tools. You're so busy looking for the tools, you're not
meditating. Yeah, well, here's the thing. The tools really aren't the problem.
Right.
The tools are a help, actually. The problem, drilling down specifically into what Nancy was talking about, what Heather's talking about, is we are looking for answers without doing the work. So this is actually like two pages into my lesson. I'll just talk about it now. Where we, I think, do this a lot, commentaries are great. And it's great to have Bob. And it's great to have different teachers and theologians that you like. But what we do is instead of doing the hard work ourselves of drilling down, we just go, what do they think?
Right.
And we just take everything that they think and they say as gospel. Here's the newsflash. Bob is a filthy, rotten sinner.
Right.
Every teacher in this church is a filthy, rotten sinner. I'm talking about in the flesh. I'm not talking about in the new heart, okay? I'm talking about in the flesh. Your favorite guy on the radio is a sinner. Your favorite commentary guy, Matthew Henry, whoever it is, they're sinners. The only one who's not a sinner is Jesus. And so what we have, we've been equipped with two things, the Holy Spirit, which I think we really don't understand. We downplay, and where's Kath? Kath and I were talking about this morning. We don't fully understand the impact of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the living, breathing Word of God, okay? To Fred's point, we have the ability by God Almighty to open the Word of God and study and to drill into the Word in depth. Are commentaries bad? No, they're not bad. But what we have a tendency to do in our laziness is we have stuff available, so we just do it. And we don't do the hard work of looking. And I can tell you, and I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, can say the same thing, that you will learn more, you will grow more in the Word when you are the one digging into the Word, digging into the original, digging into, could be commentaries to help, digging into lexicons and dictionaries and everything else to say, what does this mean? You're cross-referencing Scripture to say, what does this mean? Okay? Not to go off on a super long tangent on that, but that's where we tend to sort of fail, is we rely on others. I had a note in here, and I'll mention it now. If you look at, can somebody read Acts 17:11? Can somebody read that?
I think I know most of it.
Go ahead.
Now, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness and searched Scripture daily to prove whether those things were so.
So the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily. It doesn't say the Bereans opened up their commentaries. The Bereans opened up their Matthew Henry. The Bereans, you know, went online and wanted to hear what Apollos said. In fact, Scripture says, you know, I'm glad, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said, I'm glad that, you know, however he said it, you know, you guys are like following Apollos, you're following Paul. I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you because I don't want any of you following me because Apollos is nothing, Paul is nothing. You know, we sow and God brings the increase. God is everything and we are nothing. So, yes, it's true that God has given people the gift of teaching and the gift of preaching, and we need to embrace that. That's great. And that comes through, I think, in a lot of commentaries. But he has tasked us individually with studying his word.
Right.
Okay? So did you have something to say, Daniel?
Back to the original point of both these individuals. Going back to the early 70s, when they started with these sitcoms, this is just secular tying into this. When they had a half-hour sitcom, there was articles written concerning, oh, it's only 30 minutes of time. They're taking 1 week or maybe months and putting it in 30 minutes. What has happened through people's lack of desire to actually dig in and understand, and relationships also, they think that relationships are simple. And it takes work. Everything takes work. We see things happen so quickly. We want a quick response, drive-through, restaurants, all the rest of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People go to services. Services are only 45 minutes. Pastor spoke for 15. Praise and worship, 15. 45, and they're out. They like that. They felt good.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to invest the time that it takes to grow in the Word, which is a fault that most people have.
Yeah. And here's the challenge, everybody. And it's like, I'd love to hear your input on this. And this is something I've been thinking about ever since this lesson started, and I'll keep doing it, you know, until we're done. You know, Daniel's talking about the challenge that we all have, and, you know, we don't really want to put in the time, blah, blah, blah. The challenge is, And again, I don't know how to solve this. And like I said in day one, I don't think I'm going to solve it. I just want to encourage us to move in a positive, more biblical direction. But how do we solve that problem when all of us are just so ADD, to be honest with you, that we don't take the time to study? I will admit, I think like the more and more I've gone through life, I'm like ADD. I have a hard time like focusing on anything for more than like 30 minutes. I mean, after that, I'm just like, I gotta go do something, you know?
Even my memorization skills are affected. Like, I struggle with memorizing things. Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know if any of us have an answer on that. I don't think we do, but it's just something that we need to, I think, really work on. Like, understand that we're frail. You know, Paul said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I think we need to understand that something as simple and practical as studying the Bible is a spiritual battle.
That's right.
Like, we need to prepare for it, and we need to carve stuff out and say, how can I make this happen? Because it really needs to happen. You know, hold on a second. Allison.
Well, being one of those young I would say, like, I'm not perfect at studying the Bible. I'm not by all means saying that, like, oh, yeah, I study the Bible for an hour every day or so. But one of the biggest things for me was just really being convicted that I was investing so much time into all these different things that were meaningless. And really, like, sitting down and just being like, okay, what is actually important here? Like, what can I take out of my life, just completely get rid of it, or really control myself on how much time I spend doing X, Y, and Z? Like, do not put games on my phone. I don't. That was something that, like, when I got my cell phone, I was like, I'm not going to do that. Limiting how much time I spend on my phone, like, really paying attention to that clock. If I, like, start scrolling through Facebook or anything like that, just being like, no, this is dumb. Like, am I actually learning or gaining anything from scrolling?
Right.
Just, I had TV for a short period of time, and I realized I would come home from work, and I would turn that on, and then I would watch TV for the rest of the night, and nothing else was getting done. I wasn't writing, drawing, painting, anything.
Right. Or even just doing anything meaningful and fun.
Right. You know, so. And it's like taking a look at my life and my priorities and what am I investing most of my time into, and realizing, like, wow, I spent a lot of time wasting my life just on stuff that's not feeding me in any way or helping my life in any way.
Right.
So I had to make it to get rid of a lot of it and just really prioritize, you know, what is important, what am I going to, you know, make valuable in my life.
Right.
And then kind of like setting up a, okay, so at this time every day, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to make this a priority, and working towards that, because it's not easy, like you said, like making sure that, okay, I'm going to get up a half hour every morning before work, and I'm going to do devotion.
Right.
Half hour before I go to bed, I'm going to set aside to that devotion. Or something, just coming up with that kind of routine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've had to do in order to make that happen, is just really weed out a lot of the junk.
Right. You know, it's what I would call a personal revival, okay? Like she has recognized that I need to repent and I need to have a personal revival of how I'm using the minutes that God has given me. And people, don't get me wrong, okay? I've talked to a lot of people about this, and it's like, I don't think God calls us to be machines, okay? He doesn't call us to fill every single minute of every single day and, you know, it's like, that's not realistic. And our God is a practical God. He's not a slave driver, okay? He's not unrealistic. But, and I always think about this, it goes back to Bert's series in Wisdom. When you look at what Bert did in defining wisdom, he says wisdom was this line where we're pursuing God up here and we keep going like this, but what do? We keep making adjustments back to center. That's just the real world. That's who we are. That's who you are. That's who the world is around us. We have to keep making adjustments. I guess the question in that analogy is, are we even on the line? Are we even pursuing Christ? That's the question. And what Allison did was she said, you know what? I need to pursue Christ. I need to get back on the line here as far as what I'm doing with my time. Just quick show of hands. I'm curious. And don't put your hand up if you don't mean it. But I'm just curious. Do you think you would benefit if we did a lesson for a couple weeks or whatever, some time on personal discipline and time management.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Not many. Okay. I'm just curious. Okay. All right. Well, on this note, here's how this looks, okay, as far as what we've done in 6,000 years. If you look at this, this is Adam. Okay, this is a little linear graph here. This is Adam, so we've got 6,000 years, year 1,000, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Here's the cross, here's AD, here's where zero starts. And then over here is you, okay? So if we want to look at how this, like, this whole explosion of information has happened over time and how it really looks linearly in history, it would go like this, okay? So you start out, I'll do it right here. You start out with some information, you know, going like this, and it's pretty static. I mean, you've got written stuff, you've got, you know, papyrus and, you know, all kinds of other stuff that things were written on and communicated with, and the progression of technology or ability keeps going like this. It even went into, like, here's, you know, 33, Christ died on the cross, we go like this. Here now is year 1000, so now we start getting into the Middle Ages. And it sort of goes like this. Now, up here we have, you know, getting into the 1500s, we have the printing press. We have some Bible translations coming out, et cetera. Here we have, you know, getting into, like, let's call it the 50 years ago, 40 years ago, up to about 20 years ago. We have things like Bible bookstores. We have stores now that they didn't have. Like, these guys couldn't go to the store and buy a Bible. Okay, they couldn't go to the store and buy a commentary. But up here, we start getting into, like, you know, 1900-ish, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then this is that 1 inch right here on that tape measure that I showed, okay, where things just went wham, and they just, like, totally skyrocketed, okay? If you stop and think about it, like, right now with information that we have online and so forth, you basically have information to everything. Like, everything. There's nothing that you can't find if you really want to research it, okay? This has just been profound as far as the amount of information that we now have. Yeah.
Just say, with that, that's great, but you know what? There's a great deal of heresy out there.
True.
Well, just like...
let me go on to my next point, which sort of launches off what Fred said. You tell me, what else in history has gone like this and just gone wham? What's happened?
Sin.
I don't know if I'd say that. Sin was really rampant here, too. False information? Okay. Fake news? Okay. You know what it is, at least in my opinion? It's distraction. It's distraction. It's like we said before, okay, when we're talking about the promulgation of the Bible, and it was like, you know, I think Satan finally said somewhere, he's like, you know, if I can't keep the Bible from them, which he was successful in doing for a long time, I will keep them from the Bible, okay? And here, we look at this, and it's almost like Satan said, whoa, it's like the cat's out of the bag, like they got everything now. And what he's thinking is interference. It's like, so what do we have now? We've got games and internet and TV and media and sports and just stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. So guess what? We're all like ADD.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, we have no time to read the Bible. We have no time to study the Bible. Why? Because we are just going nuts with information. Brian.
Well, I haven't read it in years, but I recall when C.S. Lewis wrote Screwtape Letter, and it was the gist of it.
This is great, man. You guys are like just teeing me up on every next note. Go ahead.
that was the gist of Screwtape Letter.
Yeah.
So you distracted.
Yeah, exactly. Tracy.
One of the things that Dave Serafin mentioned the last time we were together talking about this was the actual meaning of the word study. And that means one of the root words of that is to labor. And that hit me hard because even when I was sick and I didn't feel well, I'm thinking, why am I not in the Word right now? You know, I don't feel good. Well, so what? Fight through it kind of thing, you know? But that hit me. I'm grateful for Dave sharing that. And it's a good reminder to all of us.
You know, to Brian's note on Screwtape Letters, first of all, Sun Tzu wrote a book in the 500s. He was a Chinese military strategist called The Art of War. And one of the things he says in there, one of his first things, his strategies, is you have to know your enemy. You have to know your enemy and what their strategies are and what they do. We have to know our enemy. We're not ignorant of his devices. And I can't sit here and speak on behalf of Satan. But I think it's pretty fair to say that this whole spike in distraction, okay, has been very, very successful in keeping us from also pursuing what we have available now in a good fashion in that spike. Okay, it's a distraction, distraction, distraction. Okay, now Brian just teed me up like literally, I told him to, hey, say this at this time. Okay, and I mentioned this before. We had a Koinonia men's breakfast at Tony's house probably a year or so ago, and there's only about 10 guys there, so I think I can recite this and it won't be too redundant for people. But just real quick, there was a guy a few years back, a friend of mine over in Canton, that was leading a men's group, and you know, he asked me to help him with it, and I did. And there was one night where, and it's a big church over there, I won't mention anything, but it was one night where I go there for the fifth time, and frankly, they just were distracted, okay? Like, they knew everything about the music thing going on, they knew everything about the sports thing going on, they knew everything about the latest cars that were coming out, all the electronic gadgets on them, and games, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when it came to scripture, it was pretty weak. It was pretty scratching and clawing for help there. And these were guys, too, that I think were in very good standing in their church, and people look up to them and so forth. And I left there, and I'm just thinking, man, it's like, what the heck? So I'm driving home, and it's probably like 10:30 at night. I'm going down 696, and I did type this on my phone, but there was hardly anybody on the road. As I'm driving home, and I think I finished it at home. Nobody died. Like, there was not many people on the road. But yeah. When we have a cop in our class, I won't say that anymore. But anyway, I'm driving home, and I was just so bothered by this. And by the way, I had not read or whatever Screwtape Letters, so this didn't like wasn't just a mirror of that, but it was very similar to it. So I'm sitting here thinking, if I was Satan, what would I do? Like, what would I do to just ruin these guys' effectiveness, you know, in the kingdom? And so I jotted this down. Listen to this. There's 14 points here. And I'm not Satan, but just think of this as though this is Satan speaking, okay? Satan's not teaching your class today, but this is like Satan speaking. He says, I'd get every man to be a spiritual nice guy rather than a spiritual warrior. I'd give every man so much social media that he'd be tied up in its straitjacket with no time for anything else. I'd give every man so many games to play that he'd never see what a real Christ servant man should be focused on and doing. I'd overload every man with so much information from the web, social media, TV, radio, music, movies, technology, and more, so constantly that he'd live in constant reaction mode and never get around to what matters most to God. I'd indoctrinate him with the love of God so much that he'd never even see the sober gravity of God's holiness, his righteousness, and his coming judgment. I'd get him so tied up in making money that he would come to live for it more than anything else. I'd get him so involved in hearing other people teach the Bible that he'd think he knows the truth from them and never even study it for himself and find the truth for himself. I'd bless him with no cost or persecution for his faith. So he gets so comfortable with his life that he remains spiritually weak and totally inept, never having to exercise his faith by trusting God in spiritual persecution. I drown him with so much Christian music that it would become his main source of theology or understanding about God. I'd surround him with so much materialism that he'd almost have no choice but to live the same way as the materialistic world around him for fear of looking very odd. I'd fool him into thinking that providing all kinds of stuff and opportunities for his kids and their growth and education, like the world around him, is the main thing that he is supposed to provide them. I'd drown him in Christian devotionals and books and other forms of spiritual writings to keep him out of the Bible itself. I'd keep him feeling so inadequate and guilty for being sinful that he'd never realize the power of the Holy Spirit in him and never even think of trying to be a warrior for God. And lastly, I'd make sure he got involved in church a lot, to deceive him with a false sense of spirituality, since most churches are of no threat to me.
That's right. That's
so that is a synopsis of what I think might be going on, okay, that we should think about. When it comes to online tools, I've asked a couple Koinonians here. That's, and by the way, Doug said that sounds like an alien term a long time ago. But we're Koinonians. Couple Koinonians to share a couple things that they do with online tools that help them study the Bible. So, Becky, what do you have?
One thing that I use the most is I have an app on my phone because I actually like it because I can use it in, like, in the sermon, you know, if we're reading the passage. But this one in particular is called the Complete Word Study Bible. And so every single word you touch on will give you what the Greek is or a definition or part of speech. And so that one, when I first started using it, I actually had the big book. I couldn't do it in church, but now they have it on an app. And so when I'm reading or even listening, you know, to Bob or whoever else, I'm like, well, wait a minute, what does that word really mean? Like, if it's a word that in English I think it means something, I can just touch it and it'll give me the definition of what it really is in Greek. And many times I'm surprised that it's not quite exactly what I thought it was supposed to be. And so I can touch on that. But the other thing that I can do with that app is it says, look up this exact Greek word. And so that I found really, really helpful, because when I touch that, it gives me immediately all the verses of where that word is used in the Bible. And it gives me a bigger picture of how that one is used. One of the examples that when I first started learning how to do this is from Jude 20-23, and it's the word keep. And the command, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Oh my God, keep yourselves in the love of God. What exactly is that definition? And so I'm thinking, okay, that means I need to, you know, stay mm-hmm. in God's love and stay in the Word. Well, when I looked it up, I was surprised at the intensity of the definition. And it's like as someone guards prisoner, it's you protect. I mean, it's a fierce kind of a keeping. You don't let that go. It's like most important to you. And then as I looked at the verses that it's associated with, the same word that God uses in keeping us, of how he keeps us and protects us, it's the exact same word. And I went, oh, wow. So God is serious about this, keep yourself in the love. And so just very simply, I was able to, you know, get a deeper look at that word by the definition and by how it's used in the Bible without ever having to look at a commentary.
What is the name of that app again?
It's called the Complete Word Study Bible.
The Complete Word Study Bible.
Complete Word Study Bible.
Okay.
The one I have texted you.
Okay.
It is in the New King James Version. But like on my phone, I have like the ESV and the NASB, and I can go back and forth between. But it doesn't matter what version you're in; it's going to give you the exact Greek.
Right.
And so, I do that all the time in church. I do it in my own personal study. If I'm, you know, I have my Bible open, and then I'm going to look up something that I look up my
right.
app, and I can, you know, I have that with me anywhere, or I'm hearing somebody preach. And I'm
right.
Not sure that I believe that, or are they really speaking the truth? Like, is on my app and kind of look that up. But then in my own personal study, I want to write more verses out. out. I can do a more extended study on my own. But it's kind of a, I can do a quick thing, and I can do a...
You know, to what Becky's saying, it's like one of the values of that really is that I think, you know, there's tons of times where we read the scriptures and there might be a word or something that we read and we're like, well, we don't really know what that means. Is it this way or that way or, you know, what way is it? And, you know, a lot of times we'll just go, well, I'm not really sure. And we just pass and, you know, move on. And I think it would really, really help our love of the Word of God and love of Christ and our walk with Him if we do drill down into that and say, wow, I had no idea. It actually means this. It actually means like the same way Christ keeps us. Wow. This it changes our whole perspective, you know.
The other thing when I click on it to see what other, then I see other words that the Bible uses for the same thing.
Right.
And I didn't realize it's not always the word keep. Some of it, they are completely different words, and from reading scripture to scripture, I didn't know that these two words in English had the exact same.
Right, right.
So that's really enlightening for me to see that there's a lot of different words with the same.
Yeah, thanks. Jim, did you have some stuff online as far as... Do you want me to bring anything up? Or? Okay.
You would ask...
Sure.
I guess, first of all, I need to confess, I'm lazy, for sure. And then...
You're among friends?
Yeah. Along with getting to know each other, I brush my teeth every day. So it makes it really, really, really easy to do one or two really simple things. And obviously, you get up, turn on the computer... And you read scripture every day. Some days I read as a study, and some days I just read to say, Lord, I just need a little bit of your time. And sometimes it doesn't even sink in. I just assume that the word of God doesn't hit me and have no effect at all. And I move on. There's a couple of reasons that I find for studying the Bible. One is it's a technical manual for our lives. We kind of heard that description. Being in a technical environment all of my life, I need the very things that were going, oh my gosh, this is quick, and you don't have the discipline. Well, we did some pretty fancy stuff by having somebody hand you manuals that you can't possibly digest quickly and fire through and get the necessary information. And that's one of the reasons that I love to use some kind of software. And to be real honest, there's a plethora of different software out there that's great. I'm going to use the one that you just described because I do that with three steps, and it sounds like you're doing it with one step with this app. I hope that there's a version for a regular PC also. You can take a single word and search through a couple of different translations. And, you know, I have no idea what Greek and Hebrew are, but mm-hmm. you can find out how it's being used throughout. The other thing that it is that the Word of God is also a love letter to us. I think we've all heard that description. And that's where, I mean, Joyce is probably better at reminding me the importance of that because she reads out of paper. She doesn't have the little links to click around. And as it goes in, she reads it. It's, you know, like they used to say, old wood to burn, old books to read, that kind of stuff. All really nice, warm, fuzzy stuff. I do that. I recognize that this is a love letter, and I need to, that's the part that I don't have the habit of all the time. I need to stop and actually digest the word and not chase down all the little nuances. Let it speak to me mm-hmm. as it's written. And sometimes I'll jump from different translations, and I caution myself to use the word translation as opposed to versions. There really is only one version of a Bible, but there are translations mm-hmm. if you're using quality study. The ESV Bible comes, I haven't bought one in the last year or two, but it used to have a sheet in front of it that gives you a connection to Crossway and allows you to link your computer and your phone together.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely great tool for short reads, but not necessarily the best searches and so forth. I think most of us are familiar with eSort, which is a freebie. You can spend very little money and can blow it up into a great tool. There's a handful of really, really good ones out there. Bottom line of it is that there are different reasons for reading scripture, and some of them, it's okay to be that real quick, mm-hmm. snap through it, because yeah, I've got a really short attention span. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just need to have that information in, but then also, my wife and I make a real quick dinner sometimes. We'll also sit down with each other and talk and digest things. I think both of those are really important when we're spending time in the Word.
Yeah, thanks. That analogy that he gave of food is very, very good. You know, think of the Word as like food, and you don't always have the time to go for some five-course meal. But at times you should, and with Scripture you should frequently, but when you don't have time for that, you have time for a quickie. You have time for, I'm going to read a proverb today and be done. Read a psalm, I'm done. Whatever. But think of it as like food. I think what I'm going to do is I'll pick up the next time. I have a bunch of online stuff I can show you, as well as just other paper stuff. That I'll show you. But one little disclaimer I just want to give too, okay, is that I talk a lot, Becky mentions it and stuff like that, about using original language, Greek, Hebrew, things like that. One little thing I just want to point out is that is a supplement to studying the Bible. That is not mandatory, okay? If that was mandatory, all of us would just have the Greek and Hebrew scriptures and that's all we would read. So it is a supplement. So don't get intimidated or think, well, geez, if I don't really look at these tools, I can't study the Bible. You absolutely can. Read your Bible, do the cross-referencing, compare Scripture with Scripture, and you will still be learning by the Holy Spirit immensely. So think of it as a supplement. Yes, real quick.
I have a teacher one time when we went and were studying. He's sitting there writing things out. And the thing is, he's writing it out in English. And all he was reading out of was the Greek and Hebrew Bible.
Yeah.
I thought, well, that guy, you know, some people have time to do that. I don't.
Right, exactly. Jim.
One of the things that's really nice about specifically eSword, and actually there's other tools and other software packages, is they allow you editors, which is really nice. You go out online and you grab a commentary, and instead of just reading through it and going, yeah, okay, fine, and how many of us can answer a line of those scripture verses, put it into your software, and now you click on those, and it's going to open up in each in the translation that you're using, so that you can verify what the author is saying. And obviously, there's going to be other, you're going to want to check more than just following up on the verses. And it's really important to follow up on what it is the scripture is saying, instead of them saying, this is the conclusion, here's the verses that support it.
Right.
Actually, look at those verses, and do they actually say what it is the commentator is saying? And it's a really nice tool to have on your PC or anything.
Thank you. Real quick, Becky.
I just wanted to clarify, the app on your phone is actually called Olive Tree Bible Study app.
Okay.
So within Olive Tree, you can, there's a lot of free versions of the Bible, but you can download the complete Word Study Bible. And it comes with, there's the complete Word Study Bible, and then there's the complete Word Study Dictionary. So it's actually two separate things, but they go together.
Okay.
So if you're doing in-depth study, like if you ever start learning the verses, I mean, you can go very, very in-depth in this app.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just be very simple and just read and just click on definitions like I'm doing quite frequently.
Okay.
Just the Olive Tree.
All right. I'll put these references on our email tonight, just so everybody knows. Let me pray and then we'll finish. The list from Satan on there? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
yeah.
A good request.
Yeah. The satanic list.
Satanic verses.
Satanic verses. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time together as a family talking about you and your word. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit, even through such a tactical lesson as this, would cause fruit to happen for your glory and for us to want you more and your word more that leads us to you. So Lord, would you please move on our hearts to make that happen again for your glory, that we might know you and love you more. And that's all we want. In Jesus' name, amen.